Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Thursday. Is there all this hype about first home buyers not being able to buy their first home just guff? We'll find out shortly. Are high school pranks getting out of hand at this time of year? Wellington's own Monopoly board, controversial. And what is a Samoan jandal? But before any of that, the Auckland port's future. Why should we care?
30-year plan A recognises that the port will eventually go. It will take, because of all the work involved, it will take a long time to do it. Getting started on it is the important point. That's where they're at. No one's chosen where it's going to go yet, but there was a map of Whangarei, you know, and the overlay on it of what's required. Let me tell you, it's pretty massive. So all in all, and that doesn't even include the transport changes that would have to take place if it were to go there. Now, we've had the discussion on this program before. We had calls from various people, including the head of the used car organization and association, and what that would mean as far as cars are concerned. So maybe the cars will never go. Maybe the cars will always come into Auckland. I don't know. But there is much, much to be done. I think I could say that I am at least mildly excited about this. What I'm wanting and hoping is that those of you who are in a position to will critique it from your area of expertise, whatever that might be, and find some faults that I haven't yet been able to see. As an overall view, I think it's going to be pretty hard to argue with.
Geez, that sounds like a fun morning of talkback, critiquing Auckland Port's 30-year plan. I'm not quite sure how that panned out. I'm sure it was a real roller coaster ride. Andrew Dickens has been standing in for Rachel Smalley the last couple of days. She's in New York trying to run a marathon. I don't know. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. So he was talking about first home buyers, and it turns out maybe it's not that hard being one.
First home buyers have not been as affected as other groups because they're finding a way in the market by readjusting their expectations on property location and type, while others in the market can't or won't. How about that, eh? They've readjusted their expectations. And I was thinking about that yesterday as an Auckland University study came out that showed that millennials are, in fact, they have a lower sense of entitlement than those over 60s. For too long in this debate, I've heard accusations that the millennials are the worst generation, that they're entitled, and the only reason they can't buy houses is because they're buying coffees and big TVs and consuming truckloads of smashed avocado salads. It's always been bollocks. It's a generation gap argument that's just ridiculous. And I know this. I've got a couple of millennials living in my house. They work hard. They compete hard. They are grounded. They are grown up more than my cohort ever was. I know 5 millennials that have bought their first house this year. 3 bought apartments, 2 in Auckland, 1 in Wellington. And they're nice apartments too. 1 bought out in the sticks, but that's okay because he works from home on the internet. New generation. And the 5th bought a renter in New Plymouth. Why? Well, he's still renting in Auckland. Because he wants to be on the property ladder, he's adjusted his expectations and bought in New Plymouth. This is the next generation. They're adapting. This is what has always happened. And it's always worth bearing in mind as we address this housing problem. Because it's not about preventing some people from buying, like foreigners, or helping others to buy, like lots of lending schemes. The core of the housing problem is that we simply don't have enough houses. And the answer is simple. Build some more.
So they're saying that's what they're going to do, of course. Whether they actually can is another question. But, you know, give it a go, I reckon. My advice to first home buyers is, of course, make sure you buy one with no lawns. That's annoying to have to mow your lawn. Now, it's that time of year where there's a lot of high school pranks going on. This is stupid, but it's something that happens.
Yeah, we had this teacher at school, or boys' school. We had this teacher at school, and he was just unbelievably hairy, you know, big, big beard, hairy arms and hairy shoulders. And he was just a thick mat. And I mean, for longer than I was at school, he sort of had the nickname at school, Yeti. And but we unfairly picked on him, and he was a really nice guy, to be honest. But our school's right across the road from Polytech. And me and a joker went over there one lunchtime, skipped out of school, went over to the Polytech and got onto their public phone there with the Yellow Pages, and just went through everything we could go through in an hour from the Yellow Pages and sent it all to his house, you know, firewood, shampoo, carpets, roofers, you know, garden bar, double glazed windows, you name it, everything we could possibly ring up. We don't know how much made it there, but a fair bit did, because he was pretty apoplectic the next day. But the other thing we did when we got back, we went over to the staff car park and popped the hubcap off his little Mark 1 Ford Escort and put a stone in the hubcap and put it in there, and he drove around for 3 days with that stone rattling away. Couldn't figure out what it was, took it to a mechanic.
That would do my head in, that one would. Oh, my Lord.
So it just goes to show that high school students are evil incarnate, basically. At my kid's school, some of the year 13s poured oil over the floor in one walkway so people could slip over, probably hurting themselves. That's hilarious, isn't it? See, that's the thing. Stupid people find that sort of thing funny. They think that's funny. I mean, I would like to think that I know I can appreciate what's funny and what isn't, but causing other people pain and misery, I don't know how funny that is. Anyway, Raybon Khan, or Raybon Khan, as some people know him as, he's been looking at the Wellington Monopoly Board. He knows what's funny. He's a comedian, so he'd better.
How's the list looking? Let's start with the flash sites. Have they made the right choice?
Well, it is one of those things. It could be a minefield, right? Making a Monopoly Board for a city, you run the risk of insulting some places. You know, if you choose them to be the equivalent of Old Kent Road or Whitechapel Road, you know, if you choose them to be the start of the board. And what's interesting when you look at this is they seem to have decided we're going to forget housing development entirely. Which, like, I mean, there are places where you just could not build houses and definitely you would not develop a hotel. One of the places is Zealandia, the bird sanctuary.
Okay.
You just don't want people building houses there. I don't think Doc would approve of that. The Botanic Gardens is the lowest rung on the ladder, Old Kent Road. And the Botanic Gardens, you know, equally not a place to put a hotel. And as you go up the board, I can't believe this, one of the places is Hutt River.
No.
It's a river. Yeah.
It's a river. What do you do with that?
Well, I think you're going to have some leaking issues. You're going to have some flooding issues. They haven't really thought it through.
No.
So I guess by ignoring the issue of our generation, the housing crisis, you know, but on the one hand, it's good that Monopoly does, you know, you can build houses very fast and people can live anywhere. But I'm saying they've brought this game out in time for Christmas for you to send it to people overseas. But people overseas probably shouldn't be allowed to play unless they have residency.
Yeah, he knows what's funny. Chinese, horrible, disgusting, despicable Chinese homeowner, Raybon Khan there. Yeah, you know, I know he's a New Zealander, but that was me. Let's move on to the Samoan Journal. I think this follows up from yesterday's comments from Marcus with regards to people being careful about exposing their winter toes to the public.
I want to have a quick word about jandals.
Yeah.
Now, the best jandals you can get are from Samoa. Now, we've been there on a trip, and I saw them there. I found them there about... $5 New Zealand a pair, and they're the best you can get. They're not too foamy, they're not too rubbery, they're not too heavy. They're white on the top of the sole and different colours underneath.
These are the calls I like, Steve, because funnily enough, I get all my shorts from Rarotonga. It's the only place I can get the right shorts. There's a special shop there that I buy, and I reckon you're probably right about the jandals in Samoa.
You can, you'll see a pair, mate. Once you've tried them, you don't want to go anywhere else. All the other expensive ones, I've tried them all because I mostly wear jandals. And honestly, these ones from Rarotonga, $5 New Zealand.
Samoa.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you for the correction. It's very important. But I reckon there's a huge, but those guys should be exporting it here in volume. They are such a good product.
But I imagine, too, in the Pacific Islands, that a lot of that stuff is from Chinese traders. They're probably Chinese-made ones that they've realised that they actually, I mean, because Samoans know their jandals, don't they?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Was it a bit of casual racism going on? I couldn't quite tell. And also, I was a bit confused because I thought that Samoan genitals were actually a thing. It was bare feet. Like, that was just a slang, like a very racist slang for bare feet. But maybe I just made that up in my racist mind. Sorry to end the week with so much racism. It goes like that sometimes. Sometimes everyone's a little bit racist, aren't they? I am Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB. I'll be back here again with a more politically correct one on Monday, maybe.